All right, this is Al Vince coming at you from Studio 2. Got my good friend Josh Ramey in the house. How you doing, Josh?
Al, I'm good. It's good to be back in Studio 2.
That's right, that's right. We got, so high school wrestling season's about ready to kick off, competition. Based on that, we always have the same episode every year, right?
Yep.
Or a similar episode, our theme. What's our theme tonight?
Well, it's back by semi-popular demand is our Ask a Ref segment.
Yeah.
Or episode. Got the man, the myth, the legend, Rod Frost. Some love him, some hate him. Some, like us, tolerate him.
Right.
Rod, how's it feel to be back in Studio 2?
That's a great welcome. And probably accurate. Some hate me, some like me, and I guess you do tolerate me.
You know, we didn't actually post anything on Twitter this year asking for questions. We got a couple questions from listeners that came in on the side. You know, one of my favorite comments ever for Ask a Ref was a friend of the show, Mac Ryder, asked Rod if he knew what, if he could explain what the Ryder Open was.
That's a good question.
Remember that, Rod?
Good reminder.
I've won the Ryder Open, so I'm one of five. So he can't make fun of me too bad. Although I know I'm terrible at golf. So I don't like Ryder Open anymore.
We golf this summer. Your game's still good.
If you call just breaking 100 good.
Well, we can stop after 16 holes if that's what's needed. Oh, man. All right. So, hey, we've got our typical Ask a Ref episode. And we always start that out with we kind of go over your guillotine comment or your guillotine
article
and talk about just rule changes for the year, points of emphasis, that sort of stuff. Pretty tame year this year, but let's just go over. What do you have for us, Rod?
Yeah, it's pretty tame. There's a lot of talk about uniforms and that kind of stuff, but we won't get into that. That's every year we have that. Got three main rules from the Federation. One is facial hair is now allowed this year. So if you have facial hair, you've got to be able to, the ref needs to be able to see the skin to see if there's a skin issue under the facial hair. If he cannot see it, then the wrestler has two choices. One, trim it to where he can see it, or two, wear a face mask. If he wears a face mask, we need to present that at weight, bring it to the referee's attention to be inspected to make sure that it, you know, there's no cuts, and sometimes metal shows through that. So facial hair is now allowed. Second thing is kind of a little bit of a controversy in the past where the shoe comes off. In the past, we had stalling if the shoe laces are untied or not secured, it was stalling. And if the shoe came off, it was technical violation and injury time. That got brought up probably 3 years ago. Then we had Shoegate.
Yep.
If people remember Shoegate, maybe one of you guys want to explain what Shoegate is.
That was at in the finals of the Ironman, right?
Yeah.
Real Woods' shoe fell off. I don't remember. Who was he wrestling?
It came off twice. And the second time, I'm not going to say that it was pulled off, but a guy was hanging on the shoe to hang on his ankle. You know, your typical guy's hanging on ankle and someone's kicking away. It was like that, but with the shoe. And it almost looked like his hand was right on the heel. Anyway, he pulled it off.
Real was the one who had the shoe.
Yeah.
Real was the one who pulled the shoe off.
I thought it was the other way around.
I thought.
I remember Izzy getting pretty excited about the call.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, he came on the mat pretty upset about it.
Okay,
yeah.
So then it had to be Real whose shoe got ripped off the second time.
So that year it was a technical violation, 1 point and injury time.
Right.
So we changed that to now it's just stalling, just like when the shoelaces come off. So if the shoe comes off or the shoelaces come undone, either one is a stall call, no technical violation, no injury time. However, there's a slight variation to that. In the stall call, most of the time defensively, or I should say all the time defensively, you'll stop it. If the guy on top is stalling, we stop it. In this situation, the stalling call for a shoe coming off undone is a delayed call.
Okay.
So you let the situation finish, and when that finishes, then you go back to the stall call and start awarding points from there. So we're going to allow action to continue. You know, like the two-point stall call. When you get to the two-point stall call, you're supposed to stop it when there's no stop it and give the other point wrestler a choice. Again, here, if it's the stall call that's going to give you 2 points, you let the situation finish. Once it's done, then you go backwards in time and start from the stall and work your way towards the rest of the points.
So if I'm up by 14 and you're riding me and the shoe comes off and you turn me and we have to go back in time based on the shoe on the delayed stall call, then I might actually win by technical fall before your back points are awarded.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yep. So we go back 14. If that second stall call was a point, we'd award the point, match over.
Yep.
If it was, let's say it was 7-0.
Yep.
Close to the end of the match. We go backwards in time. We give the 1.8-0. But we then give the 3-point near fall because the match continues. Now you lose the major.
And then, and we don't go back to the point in time as far as wrestlings.
Mm-mm.
So if there's 15 seconds left, a delayed stall call happens, they wrestle the rest of 15, you'll adjust scoring if necessary, but you won't re-wrestle.
Correct. It's not bad time. Perfect. It's just a delayed stall call.
And is there any visual signal for the fans?
No, we talked about that. Should we have a visual signal? Because like in college, if there's like a locked hands, they'll like hold the wrist to stop the writing time.
Right.
We talked about it. We felt that, let's see how this year goes. I'm trying not to jinx myself here, but the reality is, A, the shoes don't come off very often.
Yep.
Pretty rare.
And B, are they scoring at the same time that shoe comes off?
And let's be honest, if the shoe comes off, that in and of itself is a visual signal. Like people might not understand it.
True.
But after the fact, people ask, hey, what happened? And they'll say, well, the shoe came off, delayed call. Like it will kind of play itself out if it even comes up.
If it comes up, yeah.
And so you ref quite a few matches. How many shoes have come off the last 2-3 years in your reffing? Matches you've done.
So I asked this question in our rules meeting. I've ref for 32 years. I've never had a shoe come off other than like, you know, middle school youth. Sometimes they have tennis shoes. They're not wrestling in wrestling shoes.
Right.
But a wrestling shoe, I've never. However, I had some guys say that they've never had it come off until the most recently when we went away from the securing the shoes.
Right.
The kids, I don't know if kids are becoming, I'll use the word lazy, and they just want to be able to slide the shoe on so the shoe's not really tight. But, you know, if it comes off once, I bet guarantee you that kid will have it tied the next time.
Right. Yeah. Coach will make sure of that.
I've watched kids in wrestling practice try to take their shoes off after being dead tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't get them untied. So if you secure it correctly, it will never come off.
And if it were to come off, the kid gets plenty of time to properly secure it, right? Lace it back up, tape it if he wants to, whatever.
Yep. And that's why we went away from the technical violation and injury time.
Yeah.
It's a stall.
Which is appropriate, right?
It feels it's a delay. It's essentially delaying the match.
Yeah.
That's why the tying of shoes became a stalling call because rumors are it was I think they called it the Oklahoma timeout.
Right.
Right. Back in the day, Oklahoma kids get tired, they'd untie the shoe to get a little break. That's why I believe the rule came about. The third new rule is only in Minnesota, and that is we're going to adopt the college out of bounds from neutral signal for out of bounds.
And for clarity, before you go on, this is actually not a new rule. It's just a way you're going to...
Yeah, it's not a rule. It's a new signal.
Right. Got it.
So we felt that when action from neutral goes out of bounds, only three things can happen. Either a flea took you out of bounds, and we have a signal for that. That's the T, technical violation. Or you stepped out of bounds, didn't try to stay in, and just basically walked away from the situation, and no scoring was imminent. So remember, technical violation happens when scoring is imminent. Stalling happens when there is no scoring imminent, but you just take the breather. You just try to get a fresh restart, go out of bounds, push out, step out, whatever that is. That has a signal. That's the closed fist. If we go out of bounds, we didn't have a signal. College has one. It's the rolling of the wrist. So we've adopted that here in Minnesota that now every time you go out of bounds, both the fans, the coaches, and the athletes will know what the referee felt while you went out of bounds. I'm hopeful this will help with our out of bounds stalling call because now every referee has to make a decision as to what took them out of bounds and make a signal for that decision.
Right.
Where in the past, it felt like action would go out of bounds and referee's like, I'm not sure what to call, but thank God we just went out of bounds. We'll just start over.
Right, right.
Now they have to go, okay, think why do we go out of bounds? And they have to make that decision.
Great. You know, I actually love your explanation there of the flea versus a stall, right? When scoring's imminent, it's a flea.
Yep.
If there's not scoring imminent, but someone's just trying to either, one, get out of bounds, or the other, maybe one wrestler's pushing someone out of bounds, but they're trying to get a restart by going out of bounds, that's a stall. It's a great distinction, right, between a flea and a stall is scoring imminent versus not imminent.
Correct.
So that I actually hadn't – I don't think I've ever heard it phrased that way. I like it.
It simplifies it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scoring imminent.
And then the last thing I want to point out was the controversy last year with the headgear. We had the controversy last year. You couldn't have stickers on your headgear.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And a lot of schools had their logo. Well, take New Prague. The NP is all – every kid – when they're born, gets an NP headgear.
Right.
And they were not allowed to wear those because it was interpreted from the Federation that you cannot have any kind of logo sticker on your headgear. That has been retracted, and it's really about advertising. So you cannot advertise on your headgear. You can have anything school sponsored. You could have your logo. You could have the weight class. Okay. You could have a mascot. You could have anything that's not advertising for an organization of any kind. So FYI, the kids out there that have the Pinnacle headgear, that's advertising Pinnacle. That won't be allowed.
Okay.
You can have
Chico's bail bonds won't be allowed.
Chico's bail bonds, no dice.
Ooh, I'm going to have to put that, I'm going to take that off the headgear. Mm-hmm. But for clarity, right, Adidas having their own symbol on there. If they make the headgear and it comes as part of it, that's not external advertising.
And that advertising has to be in all the manufacturers know this, has been there for a few years. It cannot be larger than 2.25 inches by 2.25 inches. So all the manufacturers know that.
What about a Bible verse? That's advertising for Jesus.
A Bible verse is not allowed because that's not school sponsored.
Okay. Because you see that.
What if it's a Catholic school?
Ooh.
Boy, I don't want to get in that one. I'm not sure.
So now we're just picking on Rod here. That's not going to happen. Well, Catholics know better.
Well, but I mean, you do see headgears with like...
Yeah, yeah.
There's, you know...
It's pretty straightforward, really, right? Like, we're picking on you, but if it's not school-sponsored or not stocked from the manufacturer of the appropriate size, it's not okay. Correct. That's kind of...
Yeah,
which should alleviate a lot of the, you know, that was a pain on our side. We were the rules enforcers. So we have to enforce the rules given to us, and that was what was given to us. And
which is the last thing we want to do, right? Is to have referees doing things other than referee the action. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Too many rulings and decisions are done at weigh-ins that don't need to be.
Right.
Shoegate was Joey Silva. He ripped off Real Woods a shoe.
That's right.
Lake Highland Prep.
Yep.
That was, yeah, and you're right. Izzy was hot. He got
very excited. Yes. So that's pretty much it from the new rules for this year. It's a pretty low-key year for that, which is good.
Yeah, that's great. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of ref and Rod, you did some P&L. You got any P&L action coming up anytime soon?
So I did do the high school version of the P&L back in October 20-something in Chicago. For those listening to Alan Josh's show, they know what P&L is, so I probably won't go into it, but it's 8 clubs. Those same eight clubs are going to do a youth event in Phoenix, Arizona on December 18th, I believe. So it's the Sunday after the Christmas tournament.
So you're going to go from the Christmas tournament to Arizona to ref youth?
Yeah, so me and Joe O'Connor are going to ref the Christmas tournament on Friday and Saturday, and then we're going to take a flight out Saturday night. I don't know what time we get there. And then we're going to ref all day Sunday for this youth event. No, it sounds nuts, but we're also extending our trip till Tuesday. We're going to do a little golf, even though I said I don't like golf.
I'm going to put my money on Joe.
And I was trying to get, speaking of Mac, I was trying to get Mac to go out there because he's one of the Pinnacle coaches, but apparently he's not making that trip because he could have joined us in golf as well. Oh. But yeah, so I'm doing the P&L Youth Tournament. I think it's a 5th through 8th grade, I believe.
Fifth
through 8th grade.
We talked P&L a little bit on our last show, but I don't want to dig too deep into it, but how was the reffing experience for you and the crew from Minnesota that went out there and helped? You know, crazy coaches yelling in your ear? Or...
No, that was it was weird. So we went out. I won't name the coach, but we were warned on one particular coach may get excited and just bear with it. That was the most enjoyable event I've ever done because those guys coached their kids, didn't yell at us. I don't know if it was because it was the first one, because there was a lot of tough calls in that. You know, when you get two really skilled wrestlers together, there's some tough calls that can make.
Sure.
And, you know, I describe this as better than the state tournament because you had, I mean, the one way bracket had like four world place winners, right? World team members. Multiple national champs, nationally ranked kids. And, you know, it was good. Main thing I thought was why it was so good is because there was no dads, no crazy dads in the corners.
Right.
You know, Johnny's number one ranked kid. He's from Pennsylvania wrestling, the number two kid from Arizona. And there's 40 D1 coaches there watching. Dad's going to get excited if his kid doesn't get the call.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Because he's seeking scholarship. He's seeking visibility, yada, yada. The eight guys from the PNL, they just coached their kids. All the refs were shocked when we left that because it was a long day.
Those coaches are all pretty high-level athletes in their own right, you know, which might help. Yep. You know, they have a little better or a little different perspective. And they also are trying to build their own businesses and get things going. So that's good to hear. I was hopeful that it was going to be pleasant for you guys, but it's great that the coaching was all, you know, they understood high-level matches, intense, rather than yell at a ref about a call, coach your kid.
Well, I know Jared Lawrence made the comment that he was going to explain to his parents that this is not the time for you to be mat side. You're in the stands. Let us do the coaching. And Jared and Brandon, I've known them for years. They've always been good in the corner. They don't ever, you know, I don't think they've ever challenged a call that I've seen, even against referees I don't even know. When my kid wrestled Pinnacle, they worry about the kid and they work the kid. Sure. You know, they'll question some things, but they never lose their, never go crazy or anything. And they're the same way with all of them. They were all really good.
Awesome.
That's great. That's great for the, it's great for the recruitment of new refs. Like, I mean,
yeah.
So speaking of new refs, right, Rod, you actually have already posted we've got our first sponsor ref of the year.
Yep.
You posted that right on Twitter.
Yeah, we've got, we have seven new referees this year. A couple of them are veteran officials that moved in here, one from Wisconsin and one from Illinois. So they're more veterans, but we do have some new officials where we're getting sponsorships. The first one was a wrestler that went on to coach. Wrestler had a good high school career, I think was maybe recruited by Govers, ended up wrestling D2 or D3 somewhere. Desmond Radins, who helped coach at South St. Paul and maybe Two Rivers, Henry
yeah,
Sibley.
Did you go to Morehead State?
Yeah, that might be right.
I think Morehead State.
So Desmond is our first one. He was sponsored by Perry Rogatsky.
Yep.
Perry's been in it's good to see his kids back to good coaching. His kids have always respected referees, so it's not surprising that Perry's sponsor referee. His kids are always thank you, whether they win or loss after the match, say thank you for reffing.
Right.
And so he's been a big sponsor. He's also sponsored another one. We got a couple more that we're going to get. They're just getting started. We've got our first gal that's going to be starting, Jill
Check.
Check, yeah. She's out of Lakeville. She's just got her first start. So we'll got some pictures. We'll get some pictures of that. Post her. Jacob Bros out of Blaine, right out of high school, just graduated. He wrestled a little bit until he got hurt. He's joined us. We got a couple others and down here in the south that we need to find a couple more sponsors, which I think we have them.
We've got at least a dozen sponsors from last year that had committed that we didn't get them matched up, but that I'm sure at least three quarters, if not all of them, are willing to do it again this year. You know, some people, maybe things change and they're not able to, but for the most part, I think we've got enough sponsors for at least another dozen refs and we can start pounding the pavement for more sponsors. We want to sponsor every new ref that is interested in a little bit of help, a little thank you bonus for them for getting started.
Yeah, and if you're out, so the sponsor ref is a nominal donation of $100, which helps cover uniform and league fees to the high school. Basically, that's about it. It covers those two things. The most expensive thing to get started. But those out there, if you know people that want to get started, we really need younger officials. Some of the newer officials, like I said, are veteran officials. We got another coach, Dan Edwards, longtime Prior Lake coach. His boy Cole wrestled the Prior Lake. He joined us. You know, I'm excited for him to join. I think he's going to do a great job.
Heck yeah.
He's no young chicken either, right? If you look at our group, we have about 60 guys in the group, and well over 60% of them are over 50 years old. Our average age is 48. I think I have 3 referees under the age of 25.
Okay.
That's our future. We're fine this year. You know, that recruiting helped. The fact that schools are now having less events, they're now down to 2 to 3 home events. My org is actually, other than a few weekends, we're doing really well. We used to do, guys used to do 35, 40 events a year.
Wow.
This year I split it pretty evenly, and the most anybody has is like 19, 20. And that's including some middle school in there.
Sure.
So we spread it pretty thin, pretty good, but we are older. And, you know, if 60% is over 50, within 5 to 7 years, that 60% is going to be gone.
Yeah, we got to start. We got to start recruiting, getting new younger guys coming.
Recruit there. Young guys.
Eventually, we got to get these young guys in. So then, in a few years, that you know they're ready for the section tournament. They're ready for the state tournament. Otherwise, we're going to have a bunch of old fogies out there reffing the state tournament. And, you know,
a bunch of very experienced referees.
A lot of wisdom,
right?
I mean, wisdom, right? Is
and that's why the recruiting's going well. It's just that we need now. I want to focus on younger. I won't turn anybody down. We'll take anybody, but you know, maybe we give 125 to the rookie, the younger guys to get them to go. I don't know. You know, college coaches out there, if
HR says we cannot discriminate.
Right.
We checked with our HR department.
Okay, fair.
They sit next to the PR department and they sit next to the IT department.
It's not that we don't want to. We're getting the head nod. No.
All right. No extra fee, but if you can recruit younger officials, please. College coaches out there, if you have anybody that shows any interest, I'd even come to your room and do a training session with any young wrestler, high schoolers, high school coaches. Not every kid's going to go on to wrestle in college. We've got, like I said, Jacob Rose from Blaine. He's a freshman at University of Minnesota. He's doing it. Luke Peterson.
Yep.
Luke Peterson from Farmington. He's actually wrestling at Southwest Minnesota State and also officiating. So we need more people like that, for sure.
Speaking of going to rooms, are you going into, I know in the past you've went into some high school rooms, kind of just give the preseason talk or pre-competition talk and just go through points of emphasis and maybe even some tips, right? Like, hey, here's what a referee is often looking for with stalling in certain situations. And it actually could be beneficial to the coaches and the wrestlers to hear like what the typical thought process is about some of these calls. Are you still doing that a little bit?
No, I haven't done it. So I did it. Yeah, like you're right. I did it to a couple schools for quite a few years, and then I'm willing to, but I haven't been.
Nobody's reached out.
Nope. Maybe that's the ones that don't like me. Let's get back to that.
Well, I would say, how can you not like
power? No, if anybody wants me to. I did a Zoom call one time with Moundsview, walked them through it.
Yeah.
Dan Ingridson asked me to do that. I did that, and I've done it at Farmington for many years when my kids were there.
Yeah, I don't know why high school coaches wouldn't want that, Josh, right? Why would you not want to have this ref come in, and then after he leaves, the coaches could say, see, I told you that's what they're looking at, or that's what, you know, but it just feels like there's no downside to having a ref come in and kind of go over the rules, but also, like I say, that thought process on things like stalling.
Yeah.
They're a little bit, not arbitrary, but a little bit of a judgment call. You know, just like, hey, here's what I'm seeing. Here's how I'll typically call it. And it's all upside.
You did it for us in the youth days.
Yeah, youth days. I did it at the parent meetings a lot.
Yeah, really handy back then. I mean, the parent meeting is extremely informative. And the youth, I mean, some of the stuff that, you know, because sometimes kids, if their call didn't go their way or whatever, you know, a young, aggressive kid, you know, kind of want to lose his mind a little bit. But if, you know, if he's familiar with some of that stuff before it happens, like.
Right.
You know, that, yeah, I always thought that's a great resource.
Yeah, I'm willing if anybody wants to, for sure.
Cool.
Let's put Rod to work.
Yeah.
We got a couple listener questions, a couple scenarios for you, Rod. We've got to pick your brain here. So let's just say this particular situation. This one I'll say is from me. I was watching some wrestling the other day, and bottom guy is kind of flat on his belly. Top guy's got a leg in. He's trying to turn the guy. Bottom guy's, you know, kind of just laying there, we'll say. Top guy comes up, like chest up, physically stops wrestling, looks at the ref and says, you know, doesn't say it, but he kind of mimics, you know, what's he doing? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that scenario?
I'm being set up because you've seen this on me.
No, not at all.
So in that scenario, it depends on how the kid is, but if he does it very cocky like that and very unsportsmanlike, actually, I'll call the top guy for stalling. Because the rule says both must wrestle aggressively.
Okay.
And if you stand up, if you push off and you're on your knees and you look at me with your hands out, like, what's he doing on the bottom? Well, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Is that a pinning combination your coach taught you?
No. Like,
right.
And anyone who's listening to us, they know the situation we're talking about. The wrestler literally comes up off the bottom wrestler and stops wrestling for a second and looks at the ref. Like,
so back to Al's, you know, I'll give a free one here. I used to, when I go into those rooms, I would tell the kids, the bottom guy, when he's laying there like that, and you as the top guy, and I tell this in my pre-meet too, and you as the top guy are just laying on top of him, waiting for him to open up, and you just lay parallel right on top of him, I have to pick then. But if he's just going to lay there, all you got to do is put yourself at risk. Get out to the outside. You get out to the outside, it's going to make it a lot easier to call the bottom guy because we know now you're trying something too. But if you're both laying there, he's laying flat out and you're just laying right on top and you're not working anything, we have to pick. We have to pick somebody.
What if I got a leg in though? I mean, I worked hard to get that leg in. I don't want to take
you that get away. That leg in and you do nothing?
Well, I'm trying to turn him in a power half and whatever.
Are you trying to turn him in a power half or did you sit up and showboat to the crowd?
Well, I mean, we're kind of, let's not split hairs here. Like,
the rules say you must work for the fall.
Yes.
So the biggest one.
In regulation, not the right out.
Not the right out. And I love it when both legs are put in and you're working that power half and you got both legs in.
I'm the bottom wrestler. Yeah. My feet are off the mat.
And my legs, my hips are I got flat. Both boots in and I'm working the power half. And everybody's yelling at the bottom guy's stalling.
Yeah, I can't go anywhere.
Where can he go?
I can't.
His hips are planted, knees are off the mat.
The rules actually, if you're being overpowered, you can't be called for stalling. And in that situation, I am overpowering you. I have total control of you. So I have to put myself at risk and have to work out to the side, get off one of the legs, work out to the half, work out the bar, maybe work in the inside cradle. Constantly putting the legs in and just trying, you could get hit for stalling on that. A lot of times it's going to be a stalemate. Stalemate, start over. You'll probably see the referee talk to him. They might say, bottom man, you need to work to get away because maybe he's balling up. Top man, you got to do something with those legs. Right, you just can't ride with the legs.
Was that a point of interest?
Emphasis?
Yeah, point of emphasis a couple years ago in your guys' manual. Yep. I remember us discussing that before.
It still is. I mean, that's what we look for is almost all of us have wrestled before. So we can tell, for the most part, you can usually tell when somebody has a chance to turn them versus trying to ride out the clock. That's why in college, I don't think we'll ever get this high school, but I would love it if we would. That side headlock, the Oklahoma cradle, mm-hmm. they start counting five.
Right.
Right? Because that's a ride out. That's not going to turn somebody, usually. Unless you get that leg in and do that Oklahoma cradle, as I call it, maybe.
But that's where the five count comes in. You have an opportunity to turn them. You can't just sit there.
So same thing, drop down the ankle. We don't have that in high school. I kind of wish we did.
A lot of people think we do.
Yeah, a lot of people do. They'll say, how long can he hold on to their ankle? Rule says, as long as I'm working, I can grab that as much as I want. Now, if it comes repetitively and we end up with stalemates or whatever, but it's not a 5-second count. The only time a 5-second count matters is when I break you completely down to your belly and I pin your foot to your butt. That's the 5-second count. That's the only 5-second count we have.
That's the only 5-second count in high school wrestling.
Correct. The rear standing, there's no 5 seconds. People say, how long does he have to return us?
He has an infinite amount of time as long as he attempts to return.
As long as he makes attempts.
Yeah. And we discuss that every year. Like, at you length. You just have to attempt.
Every one of my pre-meets,
I
talk.
You don't have to be good at it.
That's exactly my words. I tell them in pre-meet. Rule book doesn't say I have to be good at returning you. I have to try. Now, what is the judgment time? probably in that 5 second range where if I see you not making an attempt in that 5 second range, then you'll get it for stalling. But there's no rule says it's five. It's a judgment call on the referee of how long is it, but that's to say, how long is it going to return? Well, there you can be there the whole 2 minutes. I mean, probably I won't. You'll get tired. You're finally going to just let him go because I'm tired of trying to lift.
You're get really tired. But I do. I hear that a lot in the bleachers. You know.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yep.
You know, it's been 5 seconds.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, well, it's that's not. That's
I love not it cool. when I won't name the name, but it was a young coach that probably graduated maybe 10 years ago, and he started yelling at me on that about the 5 second, and I'm like, that rule, because it used to be like 25, 30 years, probably 25 years ago, we used to have a visual count when you grabbed the ankle.
Oh,
back when I was in high school.
Like back when you were reffing, like in the first 20, 25 years or reffing?
And when I was in high school, you'd always, yeah. And this young coach started yelling at him, like, that rule was gone long before you even stepped on the mat. But he hears it from the old timers.
Sure.
And he hears it from the fans.
Yeah.
That is, it's not a rule. It hasn't been a rule for, I don't know the number of years. It's been a long, long time. And they actually had a physical visual count when you went to the ankle, but like college does today. But that was
hell. Long time
25,
ago,
35 years ago.
And a lot of people think it's like, you hear that a lot, and it doesn't matter where you're at. But
and that's why we had the Ask a Ref section in the Guillotine Forum years ago. And the whole intent was for questions like that, we would answer so all the fans would know. So
right.
Because once the fans know, there's less yelling.
All right, so come clean, Rod. You created an alternate account and posed questions to yourself, right? Just to get the stuff out there?
Just to get it going.
Are you turdbag? Rod, you can tell us right now. Are you turdbag in the Guillotine Forum?
I am not turdbag. That guy's on there a lot, though. I haven't been on the forum in years, though. I think it died.
It's not dead. It's not what it used to be, right? With today's day and age of Twitter basically took over.
Yep.
But with other social media platforms as well, it's just not as no forums are as common as they used to be or as active as they used to be. The Guillotine still gets some traffic.
Yeah, and the guys that are active on it, I appreciate them. You know, it's a good read. I mean, sometimes it makes you laugh, sometimes it makes you scratch your head, but
it's always worth. I always go on before the high school state tournament. There's always a good,
great,
at least a number of good threads there.
I think Twitter hurt referee recruiting, and here's why I say that. You guys all know the Yelp reviews, right?
Yep.
When do you see a review on Yelp? Mostly for negative.
Oh, for sure.
Nobody ever says, oh, that was a, or I said nobody, but very rarely say that was a great restaurant.
So that's what Cartman from South Park declares, it's all negative.
So same thing with Twitter, right? These young officials are like, should I officiate? And they see a Twitter feed of some
right.
crazy parent, some crazy coach, and like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
That is not the norm. I mean, sure, we get some, very, very little. It's way more enjoyable. If Twitter wasn't advertising that craziness, I think we'd have more. But these young guys are like, I don't want that for that amount of money and spend, you know, 8 hours of my day
right.
to go do that when it looks bad. So if Twitter wasn't posting all that.
Yeah, I'd but leave. That's with anything.
I know.
Twitter's that's like that with
every sport.
Any subject. Yeah, sports, subject,
politics
right? Yep. I mean, like.
But draws clicks.
It true, but like wrestling, if you're a young guy who, and I've got a 23-year-old son, like he likes the sport of wrestling very much. And actually his working hours would make it really hard for him to ref. But if you want to stay involved with the sport, you know, and your coaching can be tricky because of your job. Right? If it's easier if you're a teacher, we'll just simplify that. Or you work in a school district, or you have the flexibility to get there after school for practice. Well, a lot of kids don't. They still want to, if they still want to be involved in the sport, come officiate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's.
And look, there's sponsor ref is a nice little extra chunk of change, but there are some events that, without naming specific events, there's some like long day events that happen where kids can make a bunch of money.
Yep.
You know, $300-500 for a weekend of work, cash. That's it's good money. And you're giving back
tournament.
And helping out.
Yeah. I mean, you're helping grow the sport. You're helping promote the sport. You're helping the sport continue, and you're getting a little bit of cash in your pocket.
You're selling it well. And anybody who wants to, reach out.
And knowing you guys, you have a great fraternity.
Yes.
Like you guys, the officials that we've seen over the years, like, I mean, you have a great friendship with these guys.
Oh, yeah. We go to grad parties and we see groups of officials there. You know, they'll go around to maybe grad parties from their town or whatever, but we'll see 2, 3, 4 officials at these different get-togethers. You know, they actually get along good. It's a fun good group,
yeah,
right?
You travel in packs.
Yep. I mean, and we always have fun after the event.
That's what, I mean, it's no different than, you know, a coach. A lot of coaches have that kind of fun. Wrestling parents we know have that kind of fun. Like, the sport is great. In any way you could stay connected to it, you know, there's that window between when your competitive career ends and a lot of times you get back involved when you start having kids. Well, heck, try reffing for a couple years.
Right.
You know, give it a whirl. Like, there is not nearly as many crazy parents out there as we talk
about. No, they're not.
Especially in this area.
Yep.
You know, Minnesota's, yep. Minnesota nice. It's
right.
Pretty low key. How about another question from a listener, Al? You got anything your way?
I don't have anything else right now. Do you have another question from a listener?
I got one. We'll say this is from an avid listener, and we'll say he's a Section 2 AA listener. He was wondering about a rule clarification because we call it the Jory Volk stall call.
Ooh.
This happened years ago at Tulsa. Jory was wrestling one of the Mantanonas.
Yep.
And in the second period, Jory took down. If you remember how Jory wrestles, he gets to his feet, he does some grambies, he goes flying this way, flying that way. And one time as he was coming up, and Al, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Mantanon put the leg in, Jory was standing up. The ref called potentially dangerous. And I actually called you on this match afterwards, because I'm like, man, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. The next time it happened, Jory did like a Gramby, stood up as he was standing up, Mantanona put the leg in. Jory got called for stalling. Because, and then I asked the ref for clarification, because I couldn't understand how this kid who was doing everything in his power to get away gets called for stalling as he's standing up. Mm-hmm. What is the rule? How is the ruling if...
So if we'll use Jory is down, Jory gets to his feet and that guy throws the legs in. Once Jory got to his feet,
yep.
You're probably going to call potentially dangerous the first time.
Yep.
The second time, look for stall on that top guy. Third time, for sure, stall on the top guy.
On the top guy.
So if the bottom guy is down, and I have the legs in on you, and you stand up, I'm going to potentially dangerous that.
Yep.
Put you back down. Let you know that you need to defend those legs. Don't take the easy way out by standing up and trying to get that potentially dangerous call. You stand up a second time, I already have the legs in, and you stand up again, and we go to potentially dangerous. You could look for stall call, and third one you will call the bottom guy, because he is forcing the stalemates by standing up with the legs in and not trying to defend the legs. He's trying to take advantage of the referee. He's like, I'm never getting out of these legs. I'll just make the referee stop it.
So as you explain that sequence, you mentioned that the first time for sure, almost even if it is more than likely stalling on one or the other, more than likely the first time is going to be a stalemate,
correct,
right? Kind of maybe a talking situation. And the third time is oftentimes going to be a stall call.
Yeah, the rule book even says first time stalemate, second time start to think stall. You could.
Yep.
Third is.
So in this situation, it was the second time they called it.
It sounded like the top wrestler, Jory, got into his feet, and then the top guy put the leg in.
So Josh kind of, he explained it well, but he skipped a little bit. Yeah. Jory actually, after the first stalemate, Jory got to his feet 3 times and grambied, like got to his feet and grambied, got to his feet and grambied. The third time he got to his feet, the legs were in. Now, granted, this is a very fast sequence.
So
and the legs just came in, and I don't, if it was me, and I'm not a ref yet, obviously, but yet. I would have just let it go, call it potentially dangerous again.
Well, so the way you described that, it wasn't like he was looking to get a restart.
Jory was definitely defending. Not looking to
so
get
it. So he was defending.
Right.
I actually have the match queued up right here on my trusty computer if you want to watch. If you want to watch a 30-second clip of the scenario, the situation. because it's actually...
Is this good for radio?
Well, it's probably not, but it'll be good to hear your impression, because this is kind of what, you know... So, people...
Josh, just give us a little bit of play-by-play here as the listeners are not watching the video.
Okay, well, we're going to start the second period. Scores, the match is tied up 0-0. Volk won the flip he elected to take down. Okay, here we go. Quick kind of quad pod by Volk, gets to his feet. Standing Granby. Mantinona follows. He was in a crab ride for a second. Claw position here. I'd say movement on both. Lots of movement on both guys, right, Rod?
Yep.
Back to their feet.
So there, the top man put the leg in after Jory got to his feet.
After Jory got to his feet.
Yep.
Ref didn't call anything.
Because it went right back to Matt. There was no decision by the referee to stop it there. If he had to stop it, he'd have to pick. But in that case, it actually kept him wrestling. So good no call there.
Good no call. Okay, they went off the mat. They restart. Mantinona pulls him back into him. Goes.
So legs are in now, right?
Yep, he's got one leg in.
He stands up. So that should be potentially the issue. Yep, you call potentially the first one.
Yep. So now we got a restart after the potentially dangerous. Brings him back down. Quad pod to a Granby. Folks moving. Mantinona follows very well. Back to his feet. Another Granby. Now, right there.
No, that was not. Should have been not a stop call on Jory there.
See, that's like, how do you describe that as?
That's just normal wrestling right there.
Yeah. So that's.
Oh, and there's Josh right there asking the question very calmly. I like that.
Well, and that's that. Yeah, because I mean, I was looking for clarification. How can you call a wrestler for stalling in that situation? Those guys were.
No, what they're looking for is where the guy's working the legs, he's working the power half, and instead of you trying to defend, you stand up to get the stalemate.
Right.
Or potentially dangerous. That's what you're trying to get. You're trying to get a restart without doing anything to get out of it. In that scenario, he wasn't looking. He was looking to wrestle. He was trying to wrestle.
Yeah, he was literally.
Matter of fact, he would rather that kid had his. So what happened, for those that didn't see the video, is the other kid had both feet off the mat, and the referee had stopped for worried about injury. But had that kid had the foot down, Jory would have absolutely kept wrestling, but the ref stopped it immediately to protect the other kid. Had that foot stayed on the mat, he would have did another roll or whatever. So wrestling would have kept going. I don't agree with that call.
So, and again, it's hard to do our little non-video podcast here with that. Yep. But so the first time that happened, you saw some action, and were you thinking anything?
No, nope. Like, just potentially nope. dangerous.
Just potentially dangerous.
The kid
neither
on top.
Guy necessarily, just good wrestling.
Yep.
Right? And then the second time it happened.
I went potentially dangerous again.
Right, because it was good wrestling.
Good
still.
Wrestling, and the top wrestler, he didn't. Top wrestler was off his feet, for those who can't see the video. He was off his feet on top of Jory's back. It wasn't like he jumped there
right.
to try to get out of it.
Right.
They just ended there. So we have to stop it because he could get hurt if Jory would do a roll there.
Yep.
The other guy has not to protect himself. So you have to stop that potential injury and put him back down.
Yeah. So the point of this is there's no hard set rule that you have to call stalling after the second time a situation like that happens.
Yeah. It's more of are you trying to get the restart
right
without trying to work
either through. Wrestler?
Either wrestler.
Whether you're trying to stand yep. up to force it or whether you're throwing a leg in to force it on top. Either way.
Yep, correct.
So just keep wrestling.
And nothing's changed with that rule.
Nope.
Like this you know, this parent had heard that USA Wrestling did away with that.
If I don't do any summer USA Wrestling stuff.
I was going to say, USA Wrestling, are they...
So I don't know if they have their own. I gotta believe they follow a Federation rule book, but I know they don't follow the time limits, right?
In between matches,
you just go.
Yeah.
No headgear required.
The only rule is you cannot wrestle two matches simultaneously.
Yeah,
other than that, it's anything goes.
But I would be surprised if they change that.
Yeah, that is. I thought that was an interesting question because you see that situation a lot, you know. And I mean,
we have to put this on our to-do list, Josh. We have to come up with some sort of video format, not so people can see us in Studio 2,
right?
But for situations like that, just to be able to share the match we're looking at when
you post this, can you post the video? Just Lucy?
Well, we maybe have to ask Flo. Yeah. Right? Our legal team says they're not entirely sure.
What does the legal team say?
In full discretion, it was a youth tournament for a couple of years back. But.
Yeah.
So, no major changes, a couple points of emphasis. I like the idea that the referees are going to get in the habit of doing the motion or the action call edge. And to me, me selfishly, I would be all right if it didn't necessarily result in more calls. It just gets a referee thinking, you know, it's a conscious decision. Yep, action. That's a reasonable action. Yep, they're both wrestling. Just gets him thinking, because that's got to be the main thing, right? Like,
yeah, you probably with college having it for years, we've sat next to each other and we're like, ooh, I wouldn't have called that action.
Right.
That's going to bring some of that. That's fine.
Sure.
There's going to be discussion there. But at least the fans can go, oh, we don't have bounce because of why.
Right.
And they go, oh, I don't think that was action. I think that was stalling. But at least you know now what the referee was thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
You may not agree, but now you know, well, in his opinion, he felt that was action.
Yep.
Versus, what was he? Did he forget they were stalling? Did he forget they're neutral? Why?
Right. I like it.
All right, Rob, what do you know about there's the talk of the weight class changes here going forward? 12 yes. class or 12 weights, 13, 14. Are you hearing any scuttlebutt about that?
So I heard that the survey went out, and as of maybe 3 weeks ago, I think 60% of the coaches responded. I don't have the results. I don't know. That's the high school league has those results. My gut says it's probably going to go to 13. I personally think we should stay 14, me personally. I brought this up at the rules meeting. Iowa, and that's where I'm from, so I'll preface that. Iowa has...
Won't hold that against you.
Well, they made changes this year. They're now going to send 24 kids to state tournament. They're going to have what we have. So in Iowa, we used to have sectionals in districts and state.
Yep.
Except for AAA. Where in Minnesota, we just have sections and the top two go to state. Now all three classes in Iowa are going to have one round. It's called sections. And the top three from each section will go to state with the section champs getting the first round bye. So they're actually providing more opportunity, 24 wrestlers and 8 place winners.
Wisconsin's actually done something similar where the section winners get a first round bye, I think.
Oh, do they? They have 24
I think so,
bye.
Yeah.
So Iowa is going more. I heard they're staying 14.
They are.
Yep.
I could see that. I mean, in Iowa...
The numbers are high, but I'd like to know the difference between Iowa and Minnesota in regards to the number of wrestlers. I don't think it's a big difference. I would say the small schools in Iowa do well, but there's some small schools in Iowa that don't have very big numbers. Just like the small schools in Minnesota.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, what do we got? Like roughly 200, do we have 240 teams, something like that in the state right now? 242 teams?
We're between 240 and 250.
Okay, I think... Yeah. Iowa, I wonder what they have. I mean, and it's hard to compare because I know I've seen some Iowa teams that at some tournaments down there where they roll in with 5 or 6 kids.
Right.
No, I mean, 5 or 6 tough kids, but and same, you know, Minnesota, there's Minnesota teams with the same numbers, you know.
Sure.
That, are you going to see if you can find that, Rod?
I just Googled high school participation. I don't know. I'll tell you what, it's Iowa was... This was, what year is this? Probably old. 7,750 wrestlers. Minnesota, 7,369 wrestlers.
So, within a few percent.
Right? Yeah. So.
Well.
So, probably the same amount of wrestlers, same amount of teams. They're going one direction.
Same classes.
So, to answer your question, I'm guessing 13. They have to decide by July. They'll be announced by then. State has to then go with already predetermined weights in those groups. So 12 weight classes have, you know, these weights already determined. 13 has these weights determined. It isn't like you say, oh, let's throw 135.
Right.
You can't do that. It's either you take these 12 weight classes, these 13 weight classes, or stay with the same 14.
And will this be all three classes? Because in the past, they've had the option, right?
Well, they talked about it. They never went there. They talked about maybe Class A should go with 12 and double A go 13 and triple A go 14.
Was there not a year when the coaches could agree to have a different
number? Yes, it was 1 year.
One year.
1 year. And we know how that went.
That system got gamed appropriately.
I knew that going from the get-go. I was going to get gamed.
Well, I think Albert Lee beat St. Michael Albertville, didn't they, with that?
Yeah.
Is that the duel that they opted to use?
I think 12 would be a good number of matches to wrestle today, whatever it was.
What were the two weights that you eliminated? 195 and...
195 and 220, I think it was.
Wasn't it 106?
Oh, yeah, 106, 195. Yeah, that's what it was.
Just turns out that Albert Lee didn't have those guys. That's
unavailable.
And I could be remembering it wrong, the situation.
And your 195 could then bump to heavyweight because he was no 195, weighed in at 220. And now you can wrestle 220 or heavyweight.
Yeah, and that was the hosting, the home team's
I think they had to agree upon it. There was something to do with agreeing upon it ahead of time, and if they didn't, it would... There was something goofy with it.
You had to agree to do 14.
Right, that's what it was.
It's funny, we can't remember because it wasn't that long ago.
No, it was only 2 or 3 years
ago. Yeah.
But you had to agree to do 14. If you didn't do 14, then it was down.
Default to the lower number of matches, yeah.
I don't know that I got a... You know, there's not a ton of rule changes. Nope. I mean, your descriptions were so clear and concise, it simplified it. How about we just talk a little bit of wrestling? Some of the stuff coming up, some of the stuff that happened around the state, you know?
Yeah.
Rod, you got time to hang with us?
Sure.
Okay, I got one for us here. How about this? Today's what is it? Wednesday. The state football championships coming up Friday and Saturday. Chatfield's gonna be playing in the state finals for the second year in a row. Maybe you guys have heard about this, but Al, I know you're gonna know the name. Cale Schott, his older brother Grady, wrestled in Minnesota's number one a couple years ago.
He did.
Right, you remember?
Quite a day.
Yeah, he had quite a day. Okay, so the Chatfield Gopher, Grady Schott, he showed up. If I remember correctly, that morning he went and helped milk cows, maybe at like his uncle's farm.
Yep.
Then he had a football scrimmage.
Right.
And then he came and wrestled Ryder Rogatsky. That was his encore.
That was his morning to mid afternoon.
Yes, that was his morning to mid afternoon.
Who knows what he did that night? He might have went and I don't know.
The most relaxing part of his day was the drive to Minnetonka from Chatfield.
Right.
So fast forward to, I believe, his younger brother, Cale Schott. So I heard this last year at Junior Duels. Early April, Cale was on his way to lift weights in the morning, you know, call it before school. So it's still dark, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Leaves his house, and he's driving to the weight room. And you guys will both be able to relate to this because you're from Iowa. There was like four draft horses in the road. And he actually got in an accident with his truck. Rod, you know what a draft horse is. They're huge, right?
Yeah, but I've never seen one on a road in Iowa.
Well, it's because... I don't know what the deal was. The horses got out or they weren't penned up or however. He hits these four horses, gets in a wreck, ends up breaking his neck.
Ooh.
Broke his neck in like two spots. And he is playing in the state championship in 2 days, playing both ways. Yeah, my understanding is he literally plays offense and defense. And this happened last April. Was that 9 months ago, 8 months ago?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tough kid there.
It is. Pretty tough family. Yeah. I think we can go out on a limb and say, pretty tough family.
Yeah, that is. Did you hear anything about that?
No, never heard a word about it.
Yeah, there's, I heard about it. I'm pretty sure it was at Junior Duels. A dad from down that area told me about it. And then I just read a follow-up article about it. And it's like, I can't believe that. And he's not the only kid. He's not the only kid that we're going to see wrestling this year that broke his neck last year. Alex Dietrich from wrestles for Royalton. He broke his neck at Northern Plains. Cracked two vertebrae. If I remember correctly, it was two vertebrae. And it was a kind of a fluke deal. A kid he was wrestling that he's actually trained with. His kid's name's Asen Rice from South Dakota. Asen had the single leg up, and it was towards the end of the period. And, you know, Alex was just kind of fighting off, giving up the takedown as time was expiring. And Asen, he went to do, sweep the foot. And I think he just kind of caught him awkwardly. And when Dietrich came down, there was, a whiplash effect. And his head bounced off the mat pretty hard. And he's a pretty tough kid.
He
didn't spring back up. And I was actually sitting with his dad. We were watching the match when this happened. And, you know, his dad is Ed is not the guy to type, the type of person to necessarily baby him.
Right.
So we're just kind of sitting there, and he wasn't quick to go out there, and it was like, Ed, I've seen your kid go through a little, you know, a lot of matches. I'm like, I think you better get out there. And we didn't have coaches passes, so we didn't want to go. He didn't want to go out there. And he's like, yeah, I think you're right. So he goes out there. Trainers are there. They do all the
stabilization.
Testing.
Stabilization.
Yeah, stabilization. They haul him off on a stretcher. He goes and gets x-rays, and he's got like two cracked vertebrae in his neck. And he comes back. He left in his wrestling shoes and his singlet. He came back 2 hours later in his wrestling shoes and a singlet and a neck brace. And the buddies that he carpooled with, they were like, oh, he's on his way back. You know, they text each other. They went to meet him in the parking lot to leave.
Okay.
And he goes, where are you guys going? They're like, we're going home. We got to get you home. He's like, oh, I'm not leaving before the medal matches. I want to watch championships. He comes
walking.
That is, he comes walking into Northern Plains, wrestling shoes, singlet, and neck brace, sits down, smile on his face, and he kind of looks around, kind of moves his eyes a little bit, and he's like, what are you guys looking at? What are you doing here in a neck brace? He loves freestyle and Greco. He missed the freestyle and Greco season, but he's going to be back competing this year during the high school season, defending state champ. That was a couple, you know,
feel good stories for wrestling.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that happy ending. You know that,
right?
That not such a happy ending for those four draft horses, but that football state championship 8 months later, 9 months later. I thought that was kind of
yeah, that's cool. And the Dietrich story reminds me a little bit of Brady Berge, right? When he broke his ankle in the semis and came back and sat front row. And he got a standing O, which Alex may or may not have gotten. But, you know, same sort of thing. He makes his way back to watch the rest of wrestling, even though his tournament got cut short.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, where are you guys going? We're not leaving. I want to watch the finals. It's like, what I learned that day was kids are savages.
Yes.
Because his friends, who were like, they were genuinely concerned for his health and safety when he was gone.
Yeah.
I seen that firsthand. As soon as they got back and they seen that smile on his face, oh my gosh, they started harassing the crap out of him. I was like, hey, Alex, look over there. I'm trying to get him to turn. And it's like, oh, never mind. There was nothing there.
Oh, hey, we're approaching the start of competition, which means we've got to be in a change season, right? Between coaches, maybe wrestlers. We talked a little bit last time about a little bit of kind of a change in the guard or a group of wrestlers that had moved over to Eden Prairie, kind of some kids that wrestled together, youth, and got back together. What else do we have going on in high school, Josh?
Well, an interesting one that I saw that I didn't personally know about, but I read on the Guillotine on the forum, which I'm gonna report it as being accurate. Donovan Schmid, who wrestled for Black Duck Castlake Bina last year, he is now at Mille Lacs. And I'm guessing his practice partner is the guy that he wrestled in the third place match, the one at the state tournament last year, Zach Reamer. So there is, Schmid is no longer at Black Duck. He is now at Mille Lacs. And I guess him and Reamer must be a weight apart from each other and probably partners now.
Okay, so figure out the weight classes, right?
Yeah, it was 120, 120, 126, the rankings got him at, something
sure,
like that.
Sure, yeah.
As far as the coaching, on the coaching side of things, there's been plenty of coaching changes, but let's touch on a couple here. Nick Fornicoya,
yep.
Longtime assistant. How long do you think he's been at Eastview, Rob?
Oh, boy, long time. Well, he's Eastview, then he went to Lakeville for a year or two.
Yep, that sold for a couple
and
years.
And then came back to Eastview, so I don't know, he wrestled at Augsburg, and then I think he went right to Eastview right after that.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure he was an assistant coach in Eastview's first year, which would have been like 95, 96.
He might have been.
And he's been there since then. He's been assistant to Kurt Habeck. Well, he's taken over the reins this year. He's officially the head coach there. He's put in his time, talk about tenure. That should be a pretty easy transition for him. Been there forever. And like I said, he left for a year or two, went and head coached at Lakeville South. I think I'm pretty sure it was South.
Yeah, they go South.
Back to Eastview. Another couple interesting ones is just recently, Casson Manorville, Right? Did you hear about that one, Rod?
I did hear this one, yeah.
So their head coach, Jamie Haidt, has been there for 10 years.
2000, did I see something about article like that won the first state title in 2013 when he was, so maybe a little longer, because he was assistant to Paul Mann for a little bit, right? And then he co-head, or did he?
Maybe an assistant for a year and then co-head the next year.
Yeah, so yeah, at least 10 years.
Right there, so 10 years, and now he's stepping down as head coach. He's still going to be an assistant, but his longtime assistant, Ryan Hill, who I think has been there almost as long, Ryan Hill's taken over as the head coach, and my understanding is probably just Jamie can focus on some more of the technique side and less of the administrative side, and then Ryan gets to deal with that paperwork and stuff that goes with that.
Sure.
Lucky him. But interestingly enough is last spring, Simley announced Will Short.
I was going to say, you mentioned co-head coach, and there's something new in the water here at Simley.
Yes, yeah, and I don't know how we haven't talked about this yet, probably because we haven't met since then, but one time. But now Ben Kissling, assistant coach, is going to be, longtime assistant there, is now going to be co-head coaches with Will Short. It's got to be the first time that there's been a head coach at Simley Wrestling that doesn't have the last name Short.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And I think that's kind of a similar type of situation. You know, Will's been around, Coach Short's been around forever, and there's a ton of administrative stuff that goes with it, I'm guessing.
Well, he's AD too, so he's got a lot of work on his hand there. You don't see ADs coach very often. And once you get administration, that's when they are done.
Yeah, like, some districts, they won't even allow it, right?
Yeah, you got to get clearance from your AD. I think he got that.
Right, nice. Jokes.
So that's interesting to see in those two perennial powers in AA, you know, a little bit of coaching change, you know, it's probably not a ton on either end, but
Will's still going to be heavily involved, right? I assume.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean,
yeah, and Jamie, you know, he's not going anywhere, so probably just a little bit of shift in the program, but the paper program as you go to wrestle, right? As it lists head coach and stuff, but pretty easy transitions, like you say, both new head coaches or co-head coaches been involved with the programs for a long time and know the situation.
Well, and those young guys, it's kind of like we talked about, you know, Ryan Hill and Ben Kissling, like we were talking about, you know, trying to get young refs involved. We got these young coaches that have, you know, they've been around a long time now, and they've been really involved and really active and do a lot of work that it's kind of nice to see them, you know, they're getting their shot now, too. Let's talk about this, Rod. What do you think about the upcoming quad at Jackson County Central? It's not right around the corner. What is it, January 20th?
Yeah, not right around the corner. However, for years, people have talked about we need to have a real state championship, right? We need to get the Class A and AA and AAA together and have a big battle the following weekend and stuff. And I think we all agree you're not going to get kids and coaches to make weight the week after the state tournament to wrestle another state tournament. However, there are three returning team state champs, right? JCC, St. Michael, and Simley. Not in that order, but they're the three returning state champs. They're going to get together for a quad, and we're going to have some fourth team come get into this fray, right?
That fourth team is Osage, Iowa, Al.
I love it.
I know you guys are hearing rumors of that it's not, but
the Green Devils are from the North Iowa Area Conference, right? Like, I grew up wrestling the Green Devils.
I grew up wrestling football. The Green Devils.
Yeah.
See, that's what I knew you guys would be able to relate to the.
I'm not going to pick them to win a duel, to win one of the matches in that quad, but I'm glad they're coming up.
Osage has been a long, long time ago. We wrestled. I went to Don Bosco, and we were ranked number one. Osage was ranked number one in AA, and Riceville was ranked number two in A, and Osage hosted a try of those three teams. So Osage doesn't back down. I see Osage is also in the Clash.
Yeah. Oh, they are.
They are in the Clash this year, at least according to the Clash website.
I believe it.
So they're coming north.
I'm gonna spend some time in Minnesota.
Nice.
Can you remember a time when you had the three defending state champions from each class?
I can't. Other than Maybe 1 year at the Clash, we might have had it back when the Clash was really, really strong. But I don't. They didn't necessarily meet up.
Or they actually met up.
Right. They went and met up. Or like, this is a quad. They're going to wrestle each other.
Yeah. And,
you know, they're going to. I can't imagine. Is this an overnight thing? Are you, like, assembly parents going to. I can't imagine enough hotels in Jackson County to support the number of people that will be at that event.
Well, I can't speak for Osage and St. Michael Albertville, but I know Simley's schedule. We have a dual tournament the next day in Albert Lee, so we're going to go from there. But the nice part is we got a warm up the night before the quad with Hastings. So you go
a conference duel Friday night with Hastings.
Thursday night
with Hastings.
Yep.
Who is a perennial power, ranked pretty high.
I think they're ranked second in AAA.
That wasn't enough, so you wanted to go to Jackson.
Oh, if you got the invite, how do you pass that up?
Right.
Jackson's willing to host it.
I mean, and then you go to, let's just add Albert Lee on the way home.
Yeah.
If you could wrestle on Sunday in Minnesota, you'd probably find another one.
Well, I can't answer that, but people are probably going to get sick of us talking about this quad. But I think it's really cool.
I think it's really cool awesome.
That Jackson's hosting it. It's going to be streamed. I know that. Talking to some of the powers that be down in Jackson, it's going to be streamed. It sounds like it's going to be on Rockfin.
Okay.
But really, if you're in southwestern Minnesota or just looking for something to do on a Friday night and you're a wrestling fan, go watch this thing in person.
Yeah, look, I'm not a big one to say you should drive 2 or 3 hours to go watch a quad. You know, maybe for the Christmas tournament, the Cheesehead, the Clash, those great big things. I don't always recommend people spend, 3 or 4 hours round trip in a car to watch a couple of duels. This is the 3 returning state champs plus another really good team. Like, this is a good way to spend a Friday night.
Yeah, for a true wrestling fan.
Well, were they state champs last year in Iowa?
I think they were runners-up. They took second. You're talking... traditional or
dual? Yeah, they give away multiple state titles in Iowa.
Since this is a dual meet, I would go with the dual meet portion of it. I don't know what they did.
I don't know. I think they were runners up in traditional, or what the Iowa people call traditional, which is just, I call it the individual state tournament. But I think it's just a really cool event.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We'll probably talk about that a bunch more. And Alan, there's a good chance we could be doing a little play-by-play on a couple of them mats.
Sign me up. Let's make it work.
Okay, let's talk. Here's another one for you guys, because you guys know how savvy I am on the computer. How about this little book I got right here? This Minnesota High School Wrestling 2022. This is a... You know what this... Can you see this, Rod?
I can see it, but I'm shocked that it's a printout of the state tournament.
It is a printout of the state tournament from last year.
Do you recognize that format at all? Because I know you've looked at it 1,000 times, Rod.
It looks a lot like T-Stuff.
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you print that?
I didn't. This was a gift. This was a gift from a friend. And he got it from Kevin Steinbauer at T-Stuff.com. Now, we know T-Stuff well. And it's really easy to navigate. A super user-friendly site. I think there's maybe some wrestling people out there, that are, their kids are kind of coming up into the high school now that aren't as familiar with T-Stuff as we are. Check it out. T-Stuff.com.
Well, when we were growing up, they had not only every state tournament online, but they actually ran the bracketing at the state tournament, right? Yep.
Yeah. Kevin did the bracketing.
Yeah. He was...
8, 10 years ago when track came out,
maybe? Yeah. He was track wrestling before track wrestling existed.
Correct. Yeah. He's ran Section 1 forever.
Yeah.
He's ran the EverTough Byron Youth Tournament.
Yeah,
the
Byron Bears Challenge.
Yeah. He's done that one. Kevin's a certified official as well.
Oh, he is.
He is.
I've actually seen him ref middle school stuff.
Yeah.
The funny story about Kevin Steinbauer at tstuff.com, years ago when our kids were wrestling together in Farmington at Section 1, Skyler, I think he took second that year. It's like sophomore year. He gave out the wall charts for the first and second place wrestlers.
Yeah.
A real, nice kind of like hard cardboard type of wall chart. And Skyler came home after the tournament, threw it on the kitchen counter, And like the following week, Cash, his little brother, who at the time was
like six.
Yeah, this little guy, you know, right, like six, seven, eight, something like he saw this piece of white cardboard laying on the counter. It was face down. Well, Cash picked it up and he made a paper airplane out of it.
Of course he did.
Yeah, like why wouldn't
flew,
you?
Flew like a champ.
Yes. And I got home from work and I was like, "What the heck? What is this?" And I was not super happy because you save that stuff, right?
For sure. Hunter still has his stuff.
Yeah, and once I realized that it was a wall chart, the bracket, I was like, I don't know. I don't think I was super cool about it. And Jolene actually emailed Kevin and explained the situation. My wife, so people who don't know what I'm talking about, my wife Jolene, she emailed Kevin Steinbauer and explained the situation. And he delivered
another one
to her work and actually an extra one in case there was a mishap.
Right.
And a third one that he had printed a diagram on how to make a paper airplane out of on the back of it.
Oh, that is awesome.
True story.
So I have heard this whole story. I never heard that the third one had the paper diorama tutorial on the back. Yeah, that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah. He's like, well, here's for the little brother, you know.
Team Stuff's won me a lot of money.
Really?
I made bets. And looking at, you got to look it up, right? We were just talking again. What place did Osage get? Where do you go to find that?
Yeah.
Go to T-Stuff. You can find what somebody did in 2002 at such and such weight.
And it's
used all the time.
It's so easy.
Super easy. No ads are in the way. It's an awesome site.
Yeah, that's...
I couldn't be happier that Kevin keeps that up. I was really nervous that we'd lost our best resource when they switched the track for state. But Kevin just keeps it up. I love it.
The other thing I love that he does that it actually benefits us here is he keeps score.
Team score. So speaking of traditional team champions, right?
Minnesota State High School does not recognize the individual portion of the state tournament. However,
you can go back.
Coach Association does.
Yeah.
And they reward it based on T-Stuff's scoring.
A lot of people probably don't realize how close the AAA race was last year. And for
I don't know.
St. Michael, they finished in what would be first with 134 points. Stillwater was second with 131.5.
So wow, that's one match, right?
That. Yeah.
3 points, that's...
Yeah, that I did not realize that actually until I got this book. I did not realize it was that close. Like
Stillwater beats STMA and won Concy semis, that goes the other way.
Yep.
I don't know if they even wrestled the Concy semis.
Well,
but
they had to with the number of kids each had.
Yeah, they... You know, their duel was not that close. I think St. Michael probably won the duel. Stillwater probably won, like, I think they won, like, the last five matches and...
To make
St. Michael
it,
won.
It's probably in that pamphlet you have right there.
It is, but I won't be able to find it as fast. Yeah, it will. What am I talking about? Okay, wait a minute. Oh, here we are. Well, that's AA. Hang on a second. I got to get to the AAA side. Championship quarterfinal. Championship quarterfinal. Shakopee, Northville. Hang on. Ooh, right here. That's semis. Am I going the wrong way, Al?
We need some.
We're back to good radio here.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah, they St. Michael beat Stillwater 39-27. Yeah, and
that was with a bunch of late Stillwater points. Like that was a blowout early on, was it not?
Yeah, actually, Stillwater did not win a match until 170.
Yeah,
so it's interesting that the individual score was that close. Because that was T-Stuff. Check it out if you're not familiar with it. And if you're not a computer guy, it's a really easy website to navigate.
Right, right. Yeah, tstuff.com, just like it sounds. No hyphens, no underscores, no punctuation. And you can find going back to what, the 80s?
Oh, I think it goes further back than that.
Yeah, it's great. You can go back and see any bracket you want. Nice, simple, easy to read.
And this, you know what, this little advertisement for T-Stuff is brought to you by Jason Elsmore of Elsmore Plumbing. Give him a call for all your plumbing needs in and around the Rochester area.
Excellent.
1965 is the first year.
Wow.
One class. You guys got to remember
that. We're speechless.
You guys got to remember that, right? So it was a good year, right?
I think I reffed the 103 finals that year.
That had to be a 95 pound back then.
It was.
So,
hey, Speaking of upcoming events, there's at least one upcoming event where we've got high school action before college action, right? The Gophers wrestle Augustana this weekend, and there's a duel before that, right? Is that, who's that, Rod?
Yeah, that's got Tracy. There's like seven schools, so I'll just go with Tracy. Tracy area.
Tracy, no, it's not Tracy area, Ron. It's Tracy, Milroy, Ballantyne, Westbrook, Walnut Grove.
Okay. Yes. Versus
the Panthers.
Versus Waconia. It'd be tomorrow night, Thursday night, at I think like 4 o'clock, 4:30, right before the Gopher Augustana duel.
Yeah, nice. And then I think there's another one too. Is there another Augustana duel that has high school before they wrestle?
It's next Saturday, December 10th. Zumbrota Mazeppa is wrestling Scott West out at Southwest Minnesota. So Southwest SMSU, Southwest Minnesota State versus, I believe it's Moorhead.
Oh, right. Yep.
A D2 duel. That also is before that duel. I think that's a 1 o'clock start on that Saturday.
So, Rod, when that happens, that counts as a high school event,
that's
right?
That's one of their 16 events. So everybody gets 16 events. So a single duel. That's what we're starting to see, too, why the number of events our referees have is the single duel events are going by the wayside.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. So just, I know it hasn't changed, but refresh our memory. So there's a limit on the number of events a school can have in a year.
Yep.
And as of right now, it's just events, anything, right? There's not like, at one point there was talk about, well, they could have three duels and two quads and six tournaments or whatever the breakdown was. But is it just events in general?
Just events in general. So there was talk at one time, I don't think it ever got anywhere, but there was talk of a point system.
Right.
Where if you did a try is worth so many points, a single duel is worth so many points, to try to spur more of those single duels, because people don't want to waste a single event or a event with one duel.
I'm going to ask you to take off your reffing hat and put your parent / spectator hat back on. I love the idea that I heard floated at one point about the events included a certain number of duels, a certain number of tries, a certain number of, well, tries or quads, I think it was phrased, and then a certain number of tournaments, and then some extras, right? If you want to do more duels or more tournaments, but essentially, you could have, call it four duels, single duel tournaments, just two teams, not tournaments, single duel events, just two teams, and not have it count against your total events other than that one category, meaning...
You have X number of each category.
Yes,
and you
figure
out what you want to do.
Right.
I like it as a parent. The only thing I worry about is, let's say we give four tournaments, and sometimes you get into a have versus have-nots. You've got the Simleys of the world that are going to travel from Hastings to to Jackson County back to Albert Lea. Can another school afford that? I don't know. So as a parent of a wrestling fan, I would love that. Why it doesn't happen, it makes sense to a degree. You got to try to make it even playing field across the board. So some schools just can't afford to get in a bus and travel across state. So 16 events keeps everybody equal. I think most states don't have limits, right? I mean, I've seen kids come into the Iowa State tournament.
50 matches, 60 matches, yeah.
I remember I did the Cheesehead a few years ago, and the team out of, was it Georgia? Or no, Alabama, Thompson, Alabama. Some of those kids, they already had 40 matches.
Right.
And this is like January. This is January.
Christmas time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because they dominate so much in Alabama that they would wrestle like a duel or two during the week, and they would go to these big tournaments. They go to Kansas City. They came to Cheesehead. They went to the Beast of the East, where kids were getting five, six, seven matches in a weekend.
Right.
You do that three or four times, all of a sudden, well, guess what? That team just kept getting better because – they're able to afford to do that. So it's a catch. I don't know what the right answer is. If you try to be equal, then you have to limit the number of matches. I think the number could go higher. I think...
And it has, right?
It has, but from a... Here we are. We're talking two
match
or three...
Match number went higher, but not the event number.
Event number, say 16.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we're talking two or three home events. How is that good for any program to draw fan support.
And that's my thing. It's awful. And look, we grew up, at least two of the three of us grew up in the days when they would drop a spotlight down.
Yes.
And for almost every duel, hey, you'd have...
I'll have you know I grew up in those days too. Rod reffed them.
I reffed him.
Rod actually reffed my matches.
But like, how cool was that? I remember, like, I was not a great wrestler by any means. I grew up in a little town in Iowa. We were not a great wrestling town, but we would have teams come over and they would drop a spotlight, right? Yeah. And it was super cool. It was fun. Like, people enjoyed it. And I just think there's, I get things are going to change and evolve over time. It can't all stay the same. But I know we had a ton of support from the school in general, from parents or adults in the town, from other sports programs that would come watch those events because they were cool. You know, they were fun.
Well, you felt like a superstar. I mean,
it was a showcase.
You'd walk downtown, little bitty Gilbertville, Iowa, and they're like, "Big Meat Tenegas, Lisbon." How are you gonna? You know, that don't happen anymore.
Right.
I remember years ago reffing Apple Valley and Owatonna, and that's back when both of them were premiered, always in state tournament competing. But it was at Owatonna, and me and Bill Benson were refereeing it. And we got there, you know, weigh-ins are an hour before. There was already a line. We had to weave our way through the line to get in for the weigh-ins an hour and a half before JV even started. That doesn't happen anymore because I think the single duels have gone away. We have some big ones. Like this year, I know Caston's going up to Stillwater. Simley Hastings should be a good draw.
Yeah.
It's they're far between now. I mean, when you add a third team, it loses the luster, I guess, maybe.
For
like
sure.
People like, you know,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. So if Simley's gonna wrestle Caston, but we throw in a third school, unless it's a really good school, people are like, well, it's just not there. I might not go because Simley and Caston probably gonna wrestle till the last duel. I don't want to watch Simley kill Team A and then Caston kill Team A and then wait for that duel. I just won't go. So, but we are where we are because it's 16 events. Simley doesn't want to wrestle a team that they're going to absolutely destroy in a single duel. They'll bring another team in to get more opportunity in that one event.
And that's where I wish they would do that.
That's speculative. You don't actually know that.
But that's where I wish they would do a breakdown of different event types.
Yes.
And if nobody, if you're a school that doesn't want to wrestle any duels, then you don't have to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help
don't
or hurt you, right? Yeah, yeah. It doesn't penalize anybody else because they want to have, right? Albert Lee Owatonna.
Oh, yeah.
How big was that duel?
I mean, it was huge. Is it still? I don't know.
I think it's got to be dying.
I know that
it used to be just wild. The gym would be.
They would sell out. Like people couldn't get in the gym.
Even the JV was packed. And they would do the light for the JV.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a cool experience, you know, that night, when whether it was in Owatonna or Albert Lee, you know, those guys, they found a way to hate each other on just an awesome
They run
rivalry.
Up and they put the band behind their...
Oh, yeah.
Behind the team, visiting team.
And it didn't matter if one team was ranked first in state and the other was like a 8 to 12.
No.
It was always going to be a scrap. There was always going to be people juggling weights. It was like that.
So you'd have a 7th grader out there at 106 that would beat a junior that would get a pin. It was like, what?
So exciting. I just wish... Maybe it's nostalgia, but I wish we could have a little more of that. And I think if it didn't count against your overall event count to have a duel, maybe have 3 or 4 free duels a year, I think we'd see more of it. You know, maybe not a ton, but it's just hard for these coaches as they're trying to manage how many events they have and matches they get their kids to figure out how to have those fun duels when... You know, so we have a fun duel against this team or we go to the Cheesehead, right? Like, it's hard not to go to the Cheesehead.
And you know, let's be honest, those big tournaments weren't around when we wrestled. That was,
right.
Yeah, that was not a thing.
That was not a thing. And they're becoming more and more of them now. You got the one in Iowa, the Donnybrook, I think it's called. You got the Rumble, you got Cheesehead, you got the Christmas tournament, Ironman, Beast of the East. There's tons. I can keep going, but we didn't have those. But not everybody can go to those either.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of those tournaments are not the right fit for teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah. All right. Well, so we've talked some ref stuff. We've talked some sponsorship, some changes between referees and stuff. What else do we got here?
What's with your hats?
Our hats. Oh, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, they both have the same hat on.
Well, I mean, recently we were in Austin, Texas. We picked these bad boys up. Al's actually got two of them.
I do.
Right? These okay, so these hats are from Snow's Barbecue in Lexington, Texas, Rod. We went to, was it a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
We took a trip to Austin, Texas that our wives, they kind of surprised us with, right?
They drug us down there.
They drug us down there. And
actually, and there's no wrestling, no nothing. Because you guys don't go anywhere unless there's a sporting event.
There were none of our kids were in Texas.
It is worth noting that the headquarters of Flow Wrestling is in Austin.
It is.
But that is not why we were there. That, yeah, our wives, they drug us to Texas for basically to go eat barbecue.
Right.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, so Josh and I have talked about this for a few years, and those of you that know us personally know we like barbecue. We try to do a little bit ourselves. Josh, there were two places we wanted to go, and what were they?
The first place on our list was Franklin Barbecue, which is right in Austin, Texas. And the second place was Snow's Barbecue. That's the hat, which is like an hour outside of Austin. It's in a little town, Lexington, Texas. And we were able to hit both.
And without getting too long about the details, approximately what time did we go to eat at each of these places?
Well, we were in line at Franklin. We flew in. By the time our plane landed and we got to our Airbnb, it was like 1 o'clock. We left. We were in line at Franklin at 5:45 a.m.
Yeah, you know, but they barbecue. Open at what time?
They open at 11.
Okay.
They open at 11. So, and good news is we were second in line.
We were not first.
We were not first. We were second in line. And actually, that was a really fun part of it, though, because it ended up like as the line develops, it becomes kind of like tailgating.
Yeah.
And the guy in front of us, the first guy, he had been there since like 3 in the morning. He was from West Texas. He had like a 5-hour drive to get barbecue. The people behind us in line, they were from Lincoln, Nebraska. So naturally, we had Al had that. We could chat with them about that. And that was a blast. Like
four or five people behind that was the barbecue rider for Southern Living.
Yes.
Which we didn't find out until the next day.
Yeah, we didn't find out until the next day. When we were in line at Snow's Barbecue. Now, okay, so if you're in line at 5:45 in the morning on Friday, and it's 70 degrees, if you're in line the next day at a barbecue place at, call it 6:30,
yep.
What would you expect the temperature to be?
Approximately, Rod. Just guess.
70 degrees?
Yeah, seems reasonable.
That's what we thought it would be. When Al kept me up too late, so I never looked at the weather. When we got there, it was 50 degrees. No.
Yeah. Still warm.
Still warm, but I was in shorts. And
you know, 50 degrees when the sun's out and in the middle of the day is not that cold. 50 degrees when the ground's still wet of dew.
And it's dark.
And it's super dark and there's just a cold breeze, no warmth from any place.
It's cold.
Kind of chilly.
How about if you got to walk through the wet grass and trip over a railroad tie in flip-flops?
Which is how Josh started his day.
Oh, that was so...
The line was crooked. So we waited in line. The next day we got there at 6:30, and we were numbers 149 through 153, the four of us in line. 148 people in front of us for the same 11 o'clock opening. This place is popular. What's the attraction at Snow's, Josh? Tootsie.
They're pitmaster. It's an 87-year-old woman. Huh. 87-year-old woman stays up all night running the barbecue pits.
They're only open on Saturdays.
Yep.
And the rest of the week, she is a janitor at a local high school.
Huh. I actually thought the attraction was the free beer.
Lone Star?
Yes, that's it. By the time we actually got our barbecue, they were like, okay, man. I kind of started
side-eyeing.
Yeah, they were like, wait a minute.
The sun had come out.
Yeah. And actually, we got super lucky because when we were there, I wish we planned it, but this was just luck. So in Texas, they have a magazine. It's the Texas Monthly. Every 4 years, they publish their top 50 barbecue joints in the state. Well, they happen to host a barbecue festival that has those 50 barbecue joints together. So you can
basically sample all their, you know, the top 50 in one place.
And when you say this is luck, Josh, you understand luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity, right? We had prepared for this weekend for years, and we had the opportunity to go.
That was, oh my gosh, yeah. So, yeah, we ate barbecue for 3 days straight, Texas barbecue, and
it was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Met a ton of fun people when we were at the barbecue fest. We met
people, you know, a couple people I talked to made fun of us about standing in line. I said, look, have you ever been to Adventureland, Valley Fair, Six Flags, right? You stood in line for the exciting roller coaster, mm-hmm. right? Maybe for an hour. Well, that's what we did. We stood in line for the awesome barbecue, yeah. right? And we met a bunch of cool people, had a blast. I mentioned the guy from Southern Living, their barbecue writer, was right behind us in line at Snow's on Saturday. Right. So we struck up a conversation with him and we were actually in his Instagram feed, Insta. We were on his Insta reel or feed or picture thing. And it was a lot of fun.
No wrestling. But yeah, we had a blast.
We did almost see the bats, so.
We got some surprises for all the bats. Alan is bats. We got maybe some competition coming next year to the Alan Josh Show Barbecue Fest.
Competition that will make the other competition nervous.
Well, yeah, because
these guys are legit.
Coming from South Texas,
right?
And we met them in line, and they
Corpus Christi,
and they are Carlos and Oscar and Josh. They're legitimate barbecue guys,
right?
So they're going to raise the stakes a little bit next year against for us.
But we hope so. They were a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was great getting to meet them guys. As much fun as that was, I think people probably don't want to hear too much more about our barbecue trip.
Well, it was a fun, you know how sometimes you have one last hurrah before the season starts or whatever, right? That was our last hurrah. We went down, we did, had a great fun weekend. We spoiled our wives by taking them out to, you know, meat by the pound various restaurants.
Like, how much brisket do you
restaurants
want?
Restaurant's not even the right term, yeah, right? These barbecue joints.
How much brisket would you like, sweetheart?
No. So, yeah, I guess I don't. What do you got, Josh?
Well, I think before we go, our next episode will probably be in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Probably focus on the Christmas tournament.
Yeah.
Rod, I'm guessing you'll be officiating there.
I am. It's a new format this year.
Oh, do share, please.
I don't know the exact format. It's following the Donnybrook format, which my understanding is. So last year they tried the second chance bracket, where if you went 0-2, you got another chance to wrestle. That didn't go over very well. I guess some of the kids and coaches like, I don't want to go in the loser's bracket. So they're going to introduce this Donnybrook style, which is a kind of cheeseheadish, I guess, where you wrestle out to 24th place or some number like that. Where every kid will get, I believe, 4 matches minimum. Some will get 5 and 6, depending on how well they do.
Well, you know, and we can dig into that a little deeper in the next episode. But
yeah.
So it's actually cheeseheadish, but not really, because depending on where you advance in the bracket and where you lose, then you go. So if you lose in the, let's say, 32-man bracket, you lose in the second round. Then so all those, the losers of that round, they go into their own
bracket.
Yeah, mini bracket, I'll call it. And then they duke it out, and it's front door, back door from there. So basically they place from first all the way, I mean, I think all the way down to 32. Yeah.
Nice.
Which is nice because if you're, I know in the years past, some of the, a little bit of a knock on the Christmas tournament is it's not great for teams that have one or two studs.
Yeah, right. Top heavy teams.
Yeah. And then also the other kids, you know, if they got other kids that aren't, you know, top heavy, you know, aren't at that level, they could go 0-2 or 1-2, and that event gets chewed up. So this way, that, you know, like I said, 4 matches minimum.
So I had a very prestigious coach, won't name names, talked about the cheesehead, about how he would go over there with a very good team, and he'd have some, you know, state qualifier type kids, maybe on the edge of qualifying for state, and they'd get beat up. And they, you know, at the Christmas tournament, if they had a bad day, they went 0-2 and went, oh, I went home with 2 losses. He'd go home with 4 losses.
I am.
Five losses.
Yeah.
How do you talk that kid off the ledge to say, hey, you're pretty good? Coach, I went 0-4. I remember my son, he got six at the Christmas tournament and six at the Rumble, back-to-back weeks. He goes, I lost six matches in 2 weeks. I'm like,
I mean, they're quality matches.
They're quality matches.
I remember that. I remember that 2 week stretch. Yeah,
it's actually impressive that you did six at both.
Yeah, that's what I tried to tell him. But how do you tell a kid? Now you're telling a kid, you'll be fine. I went 0-4. So
well,
I don't know.
We'll leave that on the coaches.
There's pros and cons of both. You just hope you don't have the 0-4 kid. You hope you have the team that has some studs that do very well, and the other kids get some wins. That's what you hope for.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it too. I just hope the format works out well. It's going to be new this year. It's going to be 10 mats versus 8. It's going to be at the Civic Center versus RCTC. So be spread out a little more. Hopefully it goes well.
They'll have two different gyms, right?
Two different gyms, yep. Yep. My understanding is they'll start with the heavier weights in the one gym and the lighter weights in the first gym. And then winner's bracket on one side.
Sure.
Consolation bracket on the other side.
But it sounds like the consolation bracket is not just a traditional consi bracket. There's like full brackets on that side.
It'll be a lot of wrestling.
It'll be a lot of reffing.
A lot of reffing.
So keep that in mind, people. If you're interested in reffing, now's the time to sign up. Get a hold of somebody. Rod's a great resource for anyone that's thinking about reffing.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you happen to be an outstate guy that's not like a gold country candidate, don't be afraid to reach out to Rod or to us, and we'll find the right guy to put you in touch with or gal to make sure that you get into the right association, get trained up, get some events, that sort of stuff.
And the sponsor ref is for all. It's not just
everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, any association, right? We'll help wherever we can, statewide. Absolutely. If you know someone that's interested and wants to get involved, let us know. I got one more thing for you guys before I'm done. We got a couple girls tournaments coming up here.
Oh, yeah.
December 10th, Hastings is hosting a girls tournament. I think they got like 19 girls out for wrestling this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really good numbers there. So they're with 19 girls, they might as well host a girls tournament. January 27th, Simley Spartans are hosting a girls tournament. Then February 4th, Pine Island is also hosting a girls tournament. They hosted one last year.
Yep.
They were the first to do it. They got on the calendar. They're doing it again this year. And I believe the reason I share those is not just for wrestling fans, but I think all three tournaments still have room for teams if they want to get in.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, give those coaches a call and let them know you're interested.
And those are all individual format, right? So if a team has 3, 4, 5 girls, they can bring them down. They don't necessarily have to have 14 girls or whatever.
That's my understanding. I think they're basically run like, I guess I shouldn't say this. I don't know. I was going to say I thought they were run like a round robin, but I'd be wrong to say that. I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure the Hastings one is a four person.
Okay, so Hastings and Simley, I think, are both four-person, but Pine Island might actually, last year, they might have done like eight-person bracket, an eight-girl bracket, maybe, something like that. So, and I'm sure there's others that I just don't know about yet. Give us a show, let us know.
The Clash has a girls' division this year.
The Clash, yeah, the Clash has a girls' division. Well, I don't really have any info on it yet, but we'll get some. Yeah, That pretty much rounds out. Oh,
we will. We'll also. Has it been announced yet where the Clash is going to be held? For years it was in Rochester.
I know it's going to be in La Crosse, whether it's been announced or not.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
I'm sure it has. Because if I know that, like, that has to be public knowledge, right?
Right.
You know more than the public knows. Nobody knew about that kid that moved to Mille Lacs.
I read that on the Guillotine. Thanks a lot. I give Bishi a shout out for.
Yeah, no doubt.
Turdbag. Yeah, and for anyone that was wondering, is you guys now know that Turdbag could be Rod Frost.
All right, well, I don't have anything else. We maybe can continue this off microphone.
Yeah.
You guys have anything else you want to share?
Thanks
all good,
a lot,
Rod. Yeah, appreciate you coming in. I feel like we didn't make quite enough funny this year, but we'll maybe double it up next year.
I'm sure Mac will get on it tonight.
There we go. All right, well, thanks for coming, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Well, another great podcast. Great podcast. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing.
Alan Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth, podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling. Alvin, Josh, Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota Wrestling is for you. Live from the Kitchen Army Studio 2. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.